Committee on Sustainability and Economic Development come to order. May 14th, a short agenda and an intimate crowd today. We'll start with a public hearing on Senate Bill 970 and invite Senator Winters for it. Would you like to give us a brief summary, Barbara?
Please. SB 970 removes requirement that proposals for purchase of real property from the state be accompanied by a certified check or bond furnished by surety company in the amount of not less than 10% of total value of proposal.
Thank you. Senator Winters.
Thank you, Chair. Reed, for the record, my name is State Senator Jackie Winters. I represent District 10, which covers Salem, Monmouth, Independence, Almsville, and Turner. Today, as I present to you Senate Bill 970, I noted that I think all but one member in the Senate is on this bill, and the majority of the House members are on this bill. This came to my attention when I was working on the Mill Creek property, and as some of you may or may not know, there's about 500 acres of land here in Salem that we are trying to make shovel ready in order to bring business and companies into the industrial park. And as we looked at that, one of the things that we identified was that in this economic environment, the way the statutes read, and it's not the down payment that goes into escrow, it is the amount of money that one has to put up just to talk to us in the negotiated setting about, you know, wanting to go further to purchase land. And it seems to me that that puts a roadblock if we're talking about having somebody who is even just merely interested in our properties. When we did, DAS did a survey of the other agencies and determined that they too would have a similar problem and issue, ODOT and others, and that they welcome Senate Bill 940, which would remove a barrier to be able to get private entities to actually begin a discussion to purchase land. And that's simply what this bill does. It does not take away the down payment that we normally have for escrow. It doesn't do that. It just simply allows the agency to do the same kind of real estate practices that are done in the private sector. And DAS is here with me if you have any additional questions.
Thank you very much. Are there any questions for Senator Winters? You've done a good job summarizing. Thank you very much.
Thank you, and thank all of you who assisted me, and hopefully where we are today, and we're all seeking to try to find resources to help us with our budgets, and I'm hoping that we'll be able to do this with some of the land that we have that is surplus.
Thank you very much. Did the folks from DAS want to be heard, or were you here simply to answer questions?
Any questions you
have. Okay. Very good. Thank you. Are there any comments on this bill? Are we ready to move it? I understand we need to move to work session. I asked a question before we switch, but it sounds like yes. So we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 970 and open a work session on Senate Bill 970.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 970 to the floor with a due-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Pizzio has moved Senate Bill 970 to the floor with a due-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Gilling?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm concerned Representative Holby's not here. I don't know how he would vote, but I'm often reminded of the words of Thomas Paine. I'm an eye on this. Thank you.
Very good. Any other discussion? I don't see any. Is there any objection to the motion to send Senate Bill 970 to the floor with the due-pass recommendation? I don't see any. The motion carries. Anyone who'd like to carry Senate Bill 970?
I wonder if Representative Berger would like to carry it.
No, I'm not being sarcastic.
Well,
so you say.
Because
it's her, isn't that her district?
Her senator, certainly. It's an interesting question. I chuckled because Representative Benson, Representative Bailey, and I served with Representative Berger on the Revenue Committee, and there's a regular joke in the Revenue Committee about Representative Berger's objection to bills going on the consent calendar, so she gets a heavy load of bills coming from the Revenue Committee. So I would be a little bit reluctant to do it. Representative Benson?
Mr. Chair, I'd be happy to carry the bill.
Thank you. Representative Benson will carry. And we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 970. Open public hearing on Senate Bill 539. RFP, could you do us a summary, please?
SB 539A is exempts tort liability or property damages, damage self-insurance program from insurance code if program is established by two or more affordable housing entities. Defines affordable housing and affordable housing entity.
Thank you. We have three people who have signed up to testify: Ryan Fisher, James Hackett, and Jim Kennedy.
Feels like we should add two more chairs and just have everybody in the room.
Chair Reed, members of the committee, my name is Ryan Fisher, and I represent the Housing Authority Risk Retention Pool and the Oregon Housing Authorities, and I'm here in support of Senate Bill 539. With me today are James Hackett, director of the Lynn Benton Housing Authority, and a HARP board member. HARP is the Housing Authority Risk Retention Pool. And he will detail why Oregon Housing Authorities are seeking a change. Also with me is Jim Kennedy, HARP's legal counsel, and he'll provide an explanation of how the bill is constructed. We have, just to let you know before they begin their testimony, we have run this legislation past the Department of Consumer and Business Services, and they do not have reason to oppose this legislation. Also, we've shared this bill with representatives of the insurance industry, and they are comfortable with this request. If you have any questions, I'd be happy to entertain them, but I think you'll find your most valuable information from these gentlemen.
Let's hear from your colleagues, please.
Good afternoon. Chair Reed, members of the committee, my name is James Hackett. I'm the executive director of the Lynn Benton Housing Authority in Albany, Oregon. And I'm also on the board of directors of the Housing Authority Risk Retention Pool. The Risk Retention Pool provides coverage to over 90 housing authorities in Washington, Oregon, California, and Nevada. I'll just summarize my written comments to say that the nature of building affordable housing has changed in the last few decades. Used to be you'd hear about public housing, but the dollars that are available to build affordable housing now come in the form of tax credits, and those low-income housing tax credits take private investors who need the credits to offset their federal income taxes. So it's an inducement by the federal government for investors to invest in affordable housing. The entities necessary to carry this out are limited partnerships, limited liability companies. They're private entities. And when HARP first was formed, it was designed to insure public entities. And so it can't insure these private entities. But the risk is the same. Typically, the housing authority is the property manager. We're operating it like publicly owned affordable housing, but it really is owned by private partnerships. After about 15 years, when the tax compliance period is over, the housing authority usually has a option to purchase that property and becomes the owner outright, and then does become a public asset. So we're seeking passage of this legislation so that we can provide the same kind of coverage to affordable housing that's owned essentially by these private entities but managed by public housing authorities as we do through the properties that we own and manage ourselves. And I'll entertain any questions or pass it on.
Let's hear from Mr. Kennedy, and then we'll take questions for the group.
Chair Reed and members of the committee, my name is, for the record, is James M. Kennedy. I'm a partner in the Portland law firm of Kennedy & Kennedy. I have represented Housing Authority's Risk Retention Pool, or HARP as it's commonly known, since its inception in 1987. As James Hackett testified, HARP is comprised of more than 90 public housing authorities. All of Oregon's 21 housing authorities obtain their insurance coverage from HARP. Members of HARP benefit from HARP's low premium rates, approximately half of what the conventional industry charges, effective risk management programs, very broad coverage tailored to housing authority exposures, and HARP's excellent financial condition. HARP is governed by an intergovernmental cooperation agreement that was first approved by Oregon's Attorney General in 1986 and subsequently reapproved in 1991 when it was amended and restated. HARP is exempt from regulation as an insurance company under the state insurance codes of Oregon, Washington, California, and Nevada, the four states in which it operates. It is, however, subject to some regulatory oversight in the various states where it operates. In Oregon, for example, it is subject to ORS 30.282, subsection 6, which governs public entity insurance pools. It is also subject to regulatory requirements or regulatory supervision in the states of Washington, California, and Nevada, as well as by the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development. Under ORS 731.036, subsections 4 and 5, HARP can only insure public entities. As Mr. Hackett testified, affordable housing is increasingly being developed by tax credit limited partnerships, tax credit LLCs, and nonprofit corporations. HARP cannot insure these entities because they are not public entities. And what we are attempting to do with this bill is to expand or create a new exemption that would allow HARP to provide insurance coverage to these non-public entities. The bill narrows the exemption by narrowly limiting the types of entities that can participate in an affordable housing insurance pool. There are basically three categories. The first category is housing authorities or their agencies or instrumentalities. The second category is nonprofit corporations that provide affordable housing. And the third category are partnerships, whether general or limited liability companies, that both provide affordable housing and are affiliated with the housing authority or with a nonprofit corporation that provides affordable housing. This affiliation requirement is specified in the bill. It starts at lines 44 on page 3 of the A.N. Gross version. And essentially, there are four alternative tests. One of those tests has to be satisfied. The first test, the alternative test for affiliation, is that the housing authority or nonprofit corporation has to own or have the right to acquire an ownership or financial interest in the partnership or LLC. The second alternative test is that the housing authority or nonprofit corporation has the right to direct the management or policies of the partnership or LLC. The third category or alternative test is that there is a contract for the housing authority or nonprofit corporation to lease, manage, or operate the affordable housing. And the fourth is sort of a catch-all category of having some other material relationship between the housing authority or nonprofit and the partnership or LLC. The bill defines at lines 31 to 33 on page 3 affordable housing. Affordable housing is defined as a housing project in which some of the dwelling units may be purchased or rented with or without governmental assistance on a basis that is affordable to individuals of low income. This definition is sufficiently flexible so that most of the tax credit limited partnerships, tax credit LLCs, and nonprofits in the state of Oregon would qualify as falling within that affordable housing definition. Although it's not specified in the bill, it's contemplated that a separate legal entity would be created to actually provide the insurance coverage to these affordable housing entities. William Gregory, the Executive Director of Housing Authority's Risk Retention Pool, is here with us today and would be happy to answer questions. His written testimony has been submitted, and that describes how an affordable housing entity insurance pool would operate. In closing, I would urge you to pass Senate Bill 539A so that HARP's highly regarded program can be extended to provide coverage to nonprofit corporations and tax credit limited partnerships and LLCs that are increasingly engaged in providing, developing, and operating affordable housing in the state of Oregon. Thank you, and we will all be happy to answer your questions.
Thank you very much. Are there questions? Representative Betts.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just out of curiosity, what kind of savings would be achieved by an LLC or one of these partnerships by virtue of having this opportunity available?
I guess I can speak, or you can, or we both can.
Yeah, well, Representative Benz, I think that we don't know for sure at this point. We can know by example that the housing authorities are paying premiums at about half the market rate. And it will take some time to get members on board to know, have some loss exposure and to know exactly. But over time, we expect that there'll be substantial savings to what they're paying now.
One of the primary differences between an affordable housing pool and HARP is that the affordable housing pool probably would be taxable, whereas HARP is tax exempt.
Yeah, the tax and that tax exempt piece is of interest to me. Why is that? Why is that so? Why is HARP tax exempt?
HARP is tax exempt under Internal Revenue Code Section 115, which provides an exemption from taxation for essential governmental services. And because private entities would receive their insurance coverage from an affordable housing insurance pool, those private entities would preclude it from fulfilling this essential governmental function.
Yeah, you have to say that again because I lost.
Okay. HARP is subject. HARP's tax exemption is under Section 115 of the Internal Revenue Code, which provides a tax exemption for essential governmental services. Private entities, these tax credit limited partnerships, tax credit LLCs, and nonprofit corporations, would obtain their coverage from an affordable housing insurance pool. Because there are private interests involved, Section 115 wouldn't be available to provide a tax exemption to the new pool.
Now, go ahead. So if I'm following you correctly, that currently a housing authority enjoys a lower rate because it's obtaining its insurance through a an entity that is exempt from taxation.
Yes, correct? I mean that has an influence on HARP's premium rates. It's not the sole reason why the rates are lower, but it is an important factor.
Right, and those new groups that we are including in this bill or would include in the bill that would be allowed to participate in the HARP pool are not tax-exempt entities.
Yes.
So they would not enjoy a lower rate or would? That's what I'm not following.
Well, we believe the rate would be significantly lower just because of what HARP has done in terms of, for example, its effective risk management program, its ability to contain expenses, some of those items.
And I think I understood that part, but then does the inclusion of these new groups have the potential for raising the rates for the people who are currently part of?
No, because a new pool would have to be created. The public housing authorities would still be insured in HARP.
I see.
There would be another pool that would be organized as a result of this bill.
So two separate
pools, but it would be administered by the same staff.
Understood. Thank you.
Other questions?
That was my question.
Okay. See any other questions or anyone else who needs to testify? I note that the bill passed both the Senate committee and the Senate floor unanimously. We have the revenue and fiscal statements.
We do.
So we're ready to go unless the committee is not. So we'll close the public hearing on Senate Bill 539A and open a work session on Senate Bill 539A.
Mr. Chair, I move Senate Bill 539A to the floor with a do-pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Galizio moves Senate Bill 539A to the floor with the do-pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? I don't see any. Is there any objection to the motion to send Senate Bill 539A to the floor with the do-pass recommendation? I don't see any. The motion carries. Senate Bill 539A goes to the floor with the do-pass recommendation. Is there anyone who would like to carry?
Your consent calendar?
That's a good suggestion.
Yeah.
That's a good suggestion. Any objection to that? See, Senate Bill 539 will go to the consent calendar. Thank you, Representative Thatcher, for the suggestion. With that, we'll close the work session on Senate Bill 539. And how's that for a quick meeting? We've exhausted our agenda, and we're adjourned.
Yay.
didn't even